This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. New Year's Resolution Breaker.
Mr. New Year's Resolution Breaker.
On December 31st at 11:59 p.m., you resolved to give up fatty foods. But by 12:11 a.m. on January 1st, you're elbow deep in a bowl of cheese curls.
Way to go, that lasted 12 whole minutes.
You also swore to give up drinking. But then again, you had a few beers in you when you made that resolution, so nobody can really hold you to that one.
Who's ready for another cold one?
And you bum cigarettes even though you quit.
I guess you just gave up buying them, yeah.
So this January, while you're on the Stairmaster perspiring like a pig, while craving a beer, a butt, and a bag of pork rinds, raise your underarm sweat stain in salute to Mr. New Year's Resolution Breaker, a real American hero.
Mr. New Year's Resolution Breaker.
I resolve to stop saluting people who don't deserve it.
Our nation faces a shortage of science and math teachers. Nearly 7/5 of public schools report a 4/8 decline in qualified instructors. Just as the sun revolves around the earth, a good education revolves around the concept that great teachers and exceptional students go together like two negatively charged protoplasms. Without math and science, America would never have landed a man on Mercury or cured the epidemic of simple chronic halitosis. Won't you please consider a career as a math or science teacher? Do it now, before our nation becomes a collection of imbeciles like...
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk station. Your real with 24 talk hours of commercial-free programming.
Praise the Lord. Ms. Hunter speaking.
Ms. Hunter, how you doing? This is Bo Rob Blumenfield. I'm calling from down here at the Community Center. What I was calling in reference to was in reference to your daughter. We had a couple of incidents at the pool last week. We spoke with her once about it, but Allison urinated in the pool again today.
She did?
Yes, ma'am. The moment there's any type of foreign chemical or foreign body acids in the water, all the water around her turned purple, and all the other kids freaked out and swam away. And that was the first incident on Tuesday. This time, the incident basically escalated, and I don't want to say that your daughter defecated in the pool, but I know that nobody dropped a candy bar in the pool.
Okay.
And some things I need to go over with you right quick. Basically, what's going to happen, we had to drain the pool earlier today. We're going to need $850 from you and drainage fees because we have to drain the pool and go ahead and get everything sterilized.
Okay.
There were 22 other kids in the pool.
Uh-huh.
We're going to need $1,250 from you for the E. coli testing that we held on all the children today.
$1,250?
Yes, ma'am. In addition to the initial $850, $75 because we have to rechlorinate the water. And finally, we have to sterilize the walls and the base of the pool, as well as all of the internal drainage pipe, and that's going to be another $872.
Sir,
have a good time.
You're talking about $1,250 plus $850
plus $75 plus $872.
It's no way I can pay that tomorrow. I don't have that type of money.
Yes, ma'am. Well, Ms. Hunter, I understand that, but what you have to understand, we just can't put a garden hose in the pool and let it fill.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't have it.
So let me ask you this: how do you pay your bills during the summer?
By the grace of God.
So you just walk around with all the lights on and just hope that God pays your power bill.
This is my first time hearing about something like this. I don't know what caused Allison to do that.
You know, children are going to be children. That's why we didn't really stress the urination thing. But once it got to the defecation, it caught everybody off guard because it floated over and it bumped another kid on the shoulder and we need to get his shoulder sterilized and everything. The lifeguards didn't know what to do. It was basically a lot of chaos in the pool, and that was all caused by your daughter.
Did she take a laxative? What caused her bowels to move like that?
I don't know. Well, most laxatives make the stool very soft, but this is a pretty solid.
Really? I'm just floored. Do I need to come out there to talk to you?
Well, at best, I'm just going to have to get you up here this evening to help me clean out the pool and help sterilize it.
I'll do that. I mean, I could do that.
Well, as soon as the pool drains out, we're going to have Allison go down there and get the piece of matter herself. We're not going to let anybody on our staff touch that, and we figure that would be a pretty much adequate discipline reaction for her out of the program.
But well, I would prefer that you just kick her out of the program. I've never had this type of behavior from Alice.
Now, let me ask you about your own parenting skills.
Let me tell you something, sir. One thing I do know is that we pray for her every day, and she has a prayer of her own. I tell her about her guardian angel that sits on her shoulder.
Does the guardian angel tell her to urinate in the pool?
Oh, no. I said that was safe.
Do you beat your kids?
Well, I used to be a part of that, but I'm trying to do better now.
There's nothing wrong with the beat down. And I know somebody else you need to beat down.
Who?
Your good friend, April Kia.
Oh!
This Roy Wood Jr. Juliet, what's going on, girl?
Oh, I mean, I am going to beat her down.
You know your daughter be peeing in the pool. Juliet, you have a great day, girl, okay?
Okay, bye.
And now from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Monday, January 5th, 2009. And I'm going to introduce my colleagues right away. Good morning, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hello, Dad.
Why are we getting noise in here? Do you guys hear
that? Oh, that's the heater. You want to turn off
the
heater?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's turn that off. I'm like going on. What the
Cold
hell is
it? Show business. Yeah. So which one of us is playing the role of
yes.
Susie? Would that be TJ or me?
Wait a minute. First, okay, I need to turn on your fucking mic. You see, obviously, I'm not oriented at all, man. No sleep, no nothing, you know?
So which one of us is playing the role of Susie? TJ or me?
Both of you. Oh. Thanks, too.
Yeah, it's right. It takes two men to equal one Susie. That's what I'm sure.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome
morning.
To 2009.
Yeah.
And you guys had a great, great vacation, I imagine.
Vacation? No, it wasn't a vacation. I didn't go anywhere. But it was great because I didn't see my family, which was really awesome.
That's a great thing to do on the holidays.
Yes, it is.
By the way, this is Johnny Dam speaking to us.
Yeah, the Damage Report. Yes. Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m., Pacific Standard Time. Fall in love with the First Amendment all over again.
A noon man on what is now Channel 1.
Channel 1,
right?
And TJ's still trying to warm up a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm loving the cold.
Yeah?
I'm loving the cold. It works. It's good.
It beats being too hot, you know?
Hell oh, yeah.
I'll take cold any day.
And we get hot, you know, 300 days a year.
Yeah.
These 65 cool days, you know, you got to embrace it. You got to enjoy it, you know? Friggin'
I'm
hot.
I'm digging it.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So today we launched the second channel on LA Talk Radio. I'm excited. At least I met the deadline that I set for myself, you know.
Yeah,
and,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you
in
so much.
In less than a year. Less than a calendar year.
Less than a fucking year. Exactly 11 months to the day.
Right.
And I'm extremely excited, you know. And we're going to grow it gradually, you know. I mean, thank goodness it's not busy right away, you know, because I couldn't handle it at all. But
I predict
more
a mental
shows.
Breakdown for you by March 3rd. March 3rd, you
Thank
collapse.
Thank you very much. Thank you very
we
much.
We come in, and Sam's going to be just quivering in a corner, going, Channel 2. I need archives, help me.
Oh, yeah, God. I'll be rocking in the corner in a fetal position.
Yeah.
you see, I'm already feeling like a split personality, you know, because now I have to worry about two, you know. What's going on this one? What's going on that
I
one?
I sincerely don't know how you're going to do it. Yeah, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know.
I don't either, but I'm taking it a day at a time, you know.
It's like I want to help, but I want to stay away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm just going to sit back and watch the train wreck.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm going to count. I'll be the one counting the bodies.
I know I could count on my friends to encourage me and shit. For those of you tuning in for Susie, well, Susie's not here and she's not going to be here for 2 weeks. She's in Australia having a blast.
Friggin'
sure.
nerve.
Yes. And she's apparently having a blast. I haven't talked to her.
That kid has a blast. She'll have a blast at a funeral. That girl will have a blast anywhere.
Right.
Anywhere she goes is a party. That kid.
I mean, everybody wants to be around her. She's just got this energy. You know, she brings out the best in you, the youth in you. You know.
Yeah.
I've met her once at a party, and
that was it, huh?
Well, I think I saw her here once for the opening of the new station.
Right.
But I don't know squat about her.
Really?
I don't know a thing. Nice tits. But that's really all I know. I mean, she seems like a nice person. She doesn't strike me as someone that would, you know, stab me in the middle of my sleep. But
not a violent girl.
Even close. No, no,
no.
But yeah, I don't know.
She would give. Yeah, she would give you a back rub before she did that.
Yeah,
but for sure.
Honey, I hope you're not listening, because I'm getting me a back rub in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So listen, I'm like so fucking excited. I was waiting for today all week. because I knew both of you would be here. Mm. And there's just like so much to talk about.
Tons.
You know, I mean, where the fuck do you even start, you know?
And I'll let you lead because you, regardless, no one's going to like my opinions.
I couldn't begin. I couldn't begin.
That's true, Johnny. I'm not liking your opinions lately, but that's good. That's why we're here,
yeah.
You know?
No, I go ahead and just kick off. I know where you're going to start. Just go ahead and go.
No. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. But no, TJ, tell me a little bit about, I mean, you guys are expecting a baby. And
yeah,
stuff,
yeah. Right? We are, as of Saturday, exactly 1 month from delivery.
Wow.
So I'm just getting used to I'm wrapping my brain around the concept of everything changing completely.
Yeah, you know? Instantly.
I am putting my money on TJ being the first one we find rocking in the
fetal position. Twitching, saying, feeding time. Yeah, I'll be walking around carrying a fucking bottle.
I've had two, 24 and 19 years old.
Yeah.
Couldn't even dispense any advice. Yeah. I really couldn't. Hit him with an open hand.
Keep a belt handy.
Yeah. Just show it. I want to be that. I want my worst capital punishment to be just sort of instill the fear of God just by showing something. I'd rather show than ever have to hit him. I'd rather just show something. Or what did one girl say? I forget where I heard this, but somebody once said they were talking about it, and it was a video we saw at our birthing class, and they were talking about discipline and whatever. Anyway, one girl had in this documentary a really funny thing. She said, "My mom used to discipline me and my sister by just telling us to meet her in the basement." And it worked every time. That made me laugh out loud. Meet me in the basement.
Yeah, I had a different approach. Sam's heard me talk about it on stage. He doesn't really, it's one of his least favorite jokes in my bit, in my set, but we can't hit him, but we can scare the hell out of him.
Yeah.
I took my kids to the Holocaust Museum.
Yeah.
I showed them the pictures of the children marching in the chamber. I said, "You see that? That's what happens when you don't listen to your parents."
Oofa.
Oofa.
God.
Johnny has no problem with that shit. Yeah.
You gotta be dead inside to do it.
Hey, every joke has a victim. Comedy is not always pretty.
Oh, not 6 million of them though, man.
Hey, I didn't say, I took a bad thing and used it for a positive purpose.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but, Johnny, by his own admission, has no soul, right?
He's dead inside. Well, when I die, it's gonna make the same sound as when you open a beer.
Yeah,
and that's it. Because nature abhors a vacuum.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, you know what occurred to me is that we've been doing this for almost a year, and we never sat together in the same room.
We never actually been on, not on mic.
No, I mean not on mic,
we've
of
been
course.
On the, you've, yeah. We've had you on, we've sat together, we've had you on the phone.
Right.
Vice versa. We've exactly. called into each other's shows. But
exactly.
Never,
you were in each other's shows and all that shit, but we never sat together.
Yeah. Now, we all left our guns at home, right?
Yeah. All the guns are at home.
Except me.
So, this is Battle of the Titans, if I do say so myself.
Well, as I'm always fond of saying, we're the Mount Rushmore of LA Talk Radio. Very fond of saying that. We are.
I like that, yes.
It works. I think we absolutely are the Mount Rushmore. Yeah. Absolutely.
We've got jocularity in the morning.
Yeah.
Leaning to the right in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Coming back to the left.
Yeah. You know, between
and then
us,
it's downhill for me.
Yeah, then it's yeah, then it, yeah. But between us and Dr. Michelle, I mean, that was basically
there were a few. No, there were actually a few more. Lucia.
But I mean, as of day one, that's right. Lucia was day
Lucia
one.
Lucia was
right?
day one.
Gina
was not day one.
Oh, she wasn't.
Right.
Good.
Broad Topics, and then we had a couple of other hosts that were gone, and of course Greg Rempe. You know,
right. And Greg, that's right. Greg, who is, you know, the...
he's the fourth part of the month.
He's the Fred Norris of LATalkRadio.com. He's the Billy West of...
Yeah, but he deserves a face.
And he does. Absolutely, he does. We'll put him on the other side of the mountain, but he does.
Maybe not his face, but someone's face that can be in place of him.
Yes, exactly.
Not a pretty man.
Yeah. No, Greg, not attractive. Not good looking.
Now, I spoke with Greg this weekend, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah. He gave me a new Facebook friend's shout out for my show, and he played this. He gave me one with a Rush song, and I said, "Sorry, it's just way too gay." Anything after 2112 is gay.
Ah, yeah.
And so I told him. Plus, we really the whole copyrighted music thing. I said, "No, we can't do that." Yeah. And then I ridiculed him for living in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, it's always that's still the mistake by the lake. That's always no matter how cool they make Cleveland, it's still always just going to be fucking Cleveland. It's actually a pretty goddamn cool place. It's actually all right. Yeah. The Comedy Works is in the flat. For I'd say about 15-20 years, Cleveland has been getting cooler and cooler, and it's actually not an awful place.
I think so. Do you really?
It's just never going to ever. It'll never ever, you know, live it down. It'll always be the mistake by the way.
Yeah, always.
So
listen, an exciting year, definitely. I mean, we're going to have a new president in a couple weeks, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And this is promising. I mean, I know even you, TJ, are pretty excited about it.
I want something different. I want something to change it. I'm going to fucking get it. And,
At least we've got some hope now,
Listen, I think there's hope every time there's a new president. I think there's always hope. You know, I just don't like too much of a good thing. I think, you know, I think a lot of people can see what can happen. When the Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the White House, a lot of things happened that people on the left didn't like. And, you know, and they were out there saying too much of one, you know, no checks and balances, et cetera, one party rule. And we're about to get one party rule on the other side. And so I just want everybody to be intellectually honest and call it when they see it, call it like they see it.
Yeah. I mean, I voted for Obama and I'm glad he's president. I have not drank in the Obama aid. I'm watching him.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm seeing now. We all know the Obama logo, the circle with the flag in it. Look at the new Pepsi logo.
And
look at Discovery Health's National Fitness Challenge logo. They're all starting to look like the same thing. You can put the three on top of one another and just find subtle differences here and there. Even the Soy Inc. logo looks similar to the Obama logo. And so everybody's jumped onto this Obama logo thing. And I see these Obama T-shirts, and I just know he's not getting a goddamn cent of that money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. We're talking knockoffs here, people. And if you go to the Obama website, it says donate. It's like, you won!
Yeah.
What am I giving you money
for? Oh, that donate button will always be there.
You made $200,000 a year just sitting there.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
It doesn't cost anything to put up a button, you know?
But like it still donate. Says donate. Yeah. So what the hell am I donating for? Yeah. Maybe buying your wife some fashion tips? That might help.
It's just funny because, you know, really, it's funny because another bit of proof that they're all the same, they're all alike, and they so rarely walk the walk and talk the talk. And a lot of people will say it was for security reasons and stuff. But of course, here comes a man with a New Deal, Great Society type guy, and his kids are now going to Sidwell Friends Quaker School in the bulletproof section of Washington D.C. and Virginia. Yeah. You know, it's like it's funny. It's just you just knew from the start those kids would never see the inside of a public school.
Well, why the hell? Okay,
yeah, why would they? And they're the
security
kids of the president.
Reasons. Yeah. Like you said, you did qualify that, and I'll give you credit on that.
Come
on. We're talking the president's kids. Okay, here's what happens when a politician's kid goes to public school. Right. She ends up 17 and knocked up by a redneck. Sound familiar? I'm not sure.
All I know is that the president goes into war zones. The president will go into Kabul. The president will go into Iraq. They can secure an entire nation full of terrorists and war, but they can't secure a public school?
You've been to D.C. and it's outlying areas.
But then it's not a normal school anymore. You have all that.
Well, neither is Sidwell. I'm just saying. Yeah. There it begins. Yeah. I just think that what we're seeing too is I think what I am concerned about immediately with this bailout thing and where it's going to go and what's going to happen.
The bailout.
How the friggin' I think that liberalism run amok is at the root of just about every actual problem in America. One of the biggest ones being fucking unions. These goddamn unions. You know, you hear them talking about the big three and UAW not budging, not a friggin' thing, You know, and it's just between that and now he's talking about 600,000 new government jobs. Mm-hmm. 600,000 new jobs, federal government. What does that mean? Big, huge, fat, frigid government. The civil service unions. Mm-hmm. It's just here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
It's just unions are just
Yeah. You know? Well, we're going to talk about that because Johnny, I see his ears.
Some of them need unions. Listen, yeah. Coal miners need a goddamn union because they could die down there, okay? Yeah. But these friggin' spoiled, pompous, arrogant friggin' Hollywood writers, yeah. They have friggin' union, for the love of God.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Okay, Johnny's getting ready now.
Somebody's had a script passed.
Yeah. That's a joke.
I see the long nails coming out, the claws.
I'm just going to wait and let Rhonda call in on that one.
Well, you know, it's what I was saying. I mean, look, it's funny. It's amazing to me. I know I respect your guest, that actor who comes in.
Tom Bauer.
I respect him a lot. I respect him a lot, and I do respect other people's. But you know what? It's amazing. It's a folly to think that anybody's in a position to strike. You know what I mean? It's insanity. And I understood what he said about you know, having the production over a barrel, because if ever anybody's got to stay solvent, it's now, and you got them where you want them. But at the same time, it's like, you know what, man, I just see, you know, you get the job, you want the job, you keep the job. You don't like the job, not getting enough, go get another job.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, nobody
TV is going to television actually is turning to it'll still be the same box in the same room. But the feed is all going to be coming from the internet. Within 3 years, four years tops, everything is coming from the internet, which is why we are awesome here. Right. So here's the thing. That is changing.
Yeah.
Commercial rates aren't going to go down.
Right.
What they charge companies like Pepsi and stuff for commercials, it ain't going to go down. Because now that it's internet, it's available everywhere. You can watch TV at Starbucks.
Right.
You know, so people, you think they're working. No, they're watching I Love Lucy in Spanish. Right. You go down to McDonald's. They have Murray Callender's has free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
How about sitting down and eating and having a discussion with your fucking family instead of sitting there on your computer?
I agree.
But that aside, everything's going to be fed that way. So now there's more eyeballs looking at, and it's all about eyeballs when it comes to commercials.
Sure.
So the money isn't going down.
Right.
And production costs are starting to come down because all the lighting is going to be turning to LED soon, which means it's going to be cooler on the sets. It's going to be cheaper to light a set.
Right.
It's going to be a lot easier to do. Plus, it'll be greener. Yay, green.
Yeah.
But they're asking the actors to give up residuals entirely.
Right.
Remember when you were shooting for a sitcom?
Right.
Would you let's say you'd gotten it.
Right.
Now they're telling you you're going to start losing your residuals.
To be totally honest with you, when I was shooting my sitcom, if it had been picked up, I was scheduled to make about $11,000 a week. I honestly, you know what? It's like, it is what it is. I just really think it is what it is. It's like, if you want the job, like, you get the job. If you don't like it, you have to get another job. When these writers, you know, it's like, you cannot, I just don't like the idea of imposing rules and regulations and raises and salaries on the owners, because you know what? It's like, they're the ones who bear the biggest burden financially.
And plus, what you're doing as well, Johnny, is let's say you went and worked for a corporation or something, and then you figured, you know what? They're making a lot of money. I deserve a raise. It doesn't work that way. You don't go and start doing the accounting for your employer. You just figure, okay, this is what they're offering me. Do I take it or do I leave it? And that's what TJ's saying.
They're not asking for a raise. They're asking to keep what they have, and they're taking it all away.
Okay.
You guys really need to understand what's going on here.
No, I understand. But you can't take it for granted. Whatever you have now, they can if they want to. What do you mean they can't take it away?
Because if I show up to work, let's say I have a day job. Thank God I'm not dumb enough to have one. But let's say I have a day job, and I show up to my day job every day for 10, 15 years.
Right.
And then I come in one day and they say, look, we're cutting your pay in half.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm supposed to, but I have a chance to fight to keep that pay. I'm going to fight.
Right.
You can fight, but you're
not going to hold me hostage. During all that time when I want to watch TV and movies, and I can't because you guys are holding me hostage, so your employer will pay you more. You know, the thing is,
all you care about is your entertainment. They care about their livelihood. There's a difference between the two.
But you're saying, look, I mean, you've gotten accustomed to something, and suddenly it's not there. Read the book, Who Moved My Cheese? Have you ever read that?
No, okay, because I don't read anything written by a preacher.
I don't know who it was written by.
It was written by really? Warner.
Okay,
yeah.
but the point is this.
Warren, is that
Warren.
His name?
But the point of the book is, you can't like take it for granted that you have something there all the time. One day it's going to be gone, and you can beat your head against the wall, but it's not going to change the fact that, if your source of food is gone, you go and look for another source. You don't sit there and mope and say, oh, where's my food? Why don't I get it anymore? Well, you can't. It's gone. That's reality.
I think what we're talking about here is really, and this is why for a long time I was saying that, you know, the Obama election could have in some circles been looked at as a referendum on liberalism or conservatism. And what we're talking about here is just sort of a difference of is really just an agreement to disagree based on theories. And, you know, I think it comes down to an idea of entitlement. And I think you can't help but think about putting the shoe on the other foot. If Johnny Damn Productions, was up and running and rocking and rolling, and you had, X amount of PAs and X amount of people, and suddenly three or four of them, if you had to cut back, man, there's other things involved too. I mean, my wife is a business owner. Sometimes you have to make modifications, and sometimes you got to let people go, and sometimes you got to cut salary. I know you're a proud guy. You're a smart guy. And I think that you would be really, really kind of insulted if somebody came to you and said, hey, listen, I've been coming to, and telling you about your business and your bank accounts and your ledgers. It's a matter of, you either take it or leave it. You're not entitled. Workers are not entitled to whatever they want. If that was the case, then people be out there making demands left and right and being entitled to them,
It's not a matter of entitlement. It's a matter of keeping in the industry. Because I'll tell you right now, you say, Sam, you say you'll be held hostage because you won't be able to watch TV. First of all, there's nothing but shit on TV anymore.
No, absolutely. Anyway. 75%
reality shows.
That's crap.
But I'm talking in general, not me. But
it's going to get even worse when you start, when it's just you can either get a job at McDonald's or be an actor. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to see some now really, really shitty
and
actors.
You know what? I think
it'll be like Ishtar 24/7.
It's just, you know what, though? I think there is no. First of all, today's actors, the people working today, are not necessarily any better than the people we haven't heard from yet. There's plenty of people in 99 seat theaters and people who are doing background work who are probably just as every ounce of the thespian that fucking George Clooney is, or any of the other pieces of shit.
Clooney's no longer an actor; he's a producer.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So
he's on the other side.
So is Tom Hanks. Ron Howard. All of them.
But I'm just saying is that But when I think about unions and I think about this bailout thing and I think about how a prime example here: the state of California. Schwarzenegger wants to impose a mandatory two day leave of absence, whatever you call it, 2 days off, without pay, so that we can get the state back on. And what happens? The civil servant unions, they're going to go and sue so that basically it's like they're trying to ensure the insolvency of the friggin' state of California. Mm. You know what I mean? Over a 2 day mandatory a month day off without pay, they'd rather go and sue and stop this thing. And in the meantime, the state goes even more broke than it is. Mm. You know what I mean? Again, unions are one of the liberal examples of what is wrong with this country.
First of all,
guys, last words before we call our
author. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say that, first of all, we've all agreed to disagree on this.
Sure.
And I'm totally cool
with
that.
It's just theoretical,
And I appreciate the fact.
Because we come from different perspectives.
Because my wife's in SAG. Right. You're a business owner.
I'm SAG and AFTRA. Fuck them.
Yeah. AFTRA can suck my drippy dick.
I'm both of them.
You've got a disease, then.
Well, come on. Hello. Been in the...
Drippy dicks.
I'm both of them. Fuck them.
But here's the thing. You're talking about Schwarzenegger and the budget. This money doesn't even exist. It's just numbers they push from one building to another. There's no money.
But what about the union thing?
The union thing, we've already discussed.
Like the state of California. I mean, there it is. It's another example.
Yeah, we're talking government versus private industry. So it is two different things to that degree. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, the civil servant had overloaded system to begin with. First of all, to become a civil servant, you can't be white and 45 like me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. No. Blonde hair, blue eyes, forget it. No, especially
in California.
No. You've got to be someone of an ethnic group. Hello, Operation Bootstrap. Mm-hmm. You've got to be someone that's maybe got a challenge in life. You've got to be anything but Caucasian, middle-aged, and average. Mm-hmm. You, I have not seen a white mailman in God knows how long.
No.
I have never seen a white person. Last time I saw a white person at DMV, he was gay. There was a challenge. I don't care if you're gay.
What about
big
the,
deal.
Yeah. What about the parking maids and shit? You know. Well, I mean the meter maids.
Meter
shit.
Maids.
Yeah.
Shit.
But
these people are overweight.
I mean,
put them on
foot.
Yeah.
The parking
honestly,
enforcement.
You know.
I mean,
you know. Honestly. You know. You know. Sincerely. And I'll make this my last word before we got the author coming up.
Yeah.
We can come back to it. Then.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. We've got so much to talk about. I mean, it's starting to sound like a fucking round table.
This is
not what the show is about.
Good, it's good. No, but honestly, you know, there is a billion things to talk about between this. We got I got something to say about the green thing.
Yeah.
And you got Travolta's kid.
Yeah, we
got Scientology, blah 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 blah.
We got the Middle East, of course, which
Middle
Johnny
East.
Can't wait to talk about.
Middle East.
Actually, I was hoping we didn't.
Not a word from President-elect, by the way. Not a word. Not a word from President-elect yet.
That's because it has elect at the end of that.
Mm. He's yapped about everything else. Yeah. He's yapped about every freaking thing else. He's practically the president as far as he's concerned. He wanted to move in across the street 2 weeks early. This fucking no. Yeah. You gotta have your cake and eat it too. You gotta say something here.
God damn it, I'll have my cake and eat it too.
No, not you, him.
I was speaking from out channeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to change the tone a little bit. Let's take a quick break, a couple minutes, and we'll be back. We're going to call our author, and their book is The Emotional Affair. We'll be back right after this.
You know,
there's something about the way you try to look. It's getting right to me, deeper than it really should. What are you, an angel, or just looking that good? When you take your time, you are so divine. I'm not surprised, I'd like to watch you in this light.
Okay, and we're back, and the people in the studio can't wait to talk.
Yeah,
you know who's calling us?
Who?
Susie is calling us.
Give me my microphone.
Oh,
how dare you?
What the
fuck,
man?
I
can't get this right. She's calling at exactly the time I told her not to call. Okay, so let's take
that's
this.
Susie.
Typical woman.
Yeah. That's Susie.
There's our Susie. Good morning to you, or whatever.
Hi.
Oh, remember, I asked you not to call at 9:30 because we have an
she's
author.
She's in bed. Are you in bed?
It's 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And she's pretending to be asleep.
Yeah.
Actually, that sounds more like I just had sex voice.
Yeah, that's a kitten.
She probably did. Susie, listen, sweetie. Can we call you back in a few minutes? Let us just call the author real quick.
Yeah, okay. I'll be here.
I can't wait to ask her what she's wearing.
Yeah, nothing.
Okay, no. Susie, we'll call you in a few minutes.
I promise I'll try and wake up.
No, don't.
We like that tone of voice.
Yeah, it just makes things easier.
Yeah, don't change a fucking thing.
Okay. Okay, bye, sweetie. All right, so now,
that's what she sounds like when she's wearing like our shirt. You know what I
mean? the Van Heusen slightly button.
Yes.
Now I have to bring up the number again.
Now this emotional affair. This is something that I can really relate to, and I'm really looking. Well, I've been married four times.
That's true.
And trust me, you're not married four times unless you've had some affairs. And of course, I'm done with that part of my life because I'm actually with my best friend now.
Really? Right.
But I understand what it means when they say the. That's why when a woman, I'll get into it. But,
yeah. Talk to them about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they said hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Is this Ronald Potter Efron? Yes. Good morning to you. This is Sam calling from Los Angeles at LA Talk Radio. We have Johnny Dam and TJ McCormick in the studio.
How you doing, Ronald?
Hi.
How you doing nice this morning?
You. Good morning there, doctor.
Good morning.
Where are we calling you? What part of the country are you?
I'm in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Oh, in Wisconsin.
Ah.
Okay.
I got a lot of family in Luck and over by Apple River and stuff like that.
Really? Do you know that area?
A little. I'm Eau Claire is near the Twin Cities, near St. Paul, Minneapolis.
The Luck is just on the other side of the border from. It's about 2 hours out of St.
Paul. I had
an
emotional affair in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, at University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire.
Really?
Yes, I'm not kidding. It was a one-night emotional affair, but it was good. Go ahead.
So let's talk about emotional affairs for a second. Why don't you go ahead and define that for us? How is this different from, let's say, an extramarital affair or just a sexual affair?
Well, an emotional affair is an intense and emotional non-sexual relationship, and that's why it's the focus on emotion. It's an affair because it drains, it diminishes the person's commitment to their primary relationship.
I see. So this is obviously between a man and a woman, usually, let's say. And,
usually it is.
Yes.
And, we are in Hollywood.
Right. So, you know, which begs the question, you know, before we go on, I always wondered, when a man and a woman, can they be friends without having an emotional involvement there, let's say a romantic emotional involvement?
Well, yeah, sure, certainly can. I mean, men and women have good friends, been good friends for ages. I have good women friends with whom I don't have an emotional affair because when we talk, my good female friends, if I'm talking about something important, they will encourage me to go back and talk with my wife about it. They won't treat it as some sort of secret.
Right.
That
but
between us.
Right. But you're also at a point where you can't really get emotionally involved because you're married. But my question is, let's say the man and woman are single, they're not attached. Can they really be friends just platonic? I mean, for the most part, do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think
yes.
so.
Okay.
I think a lot of times people say, look, I just... I value our relationship, our friendship so much, I don't want it to turn into something sexual.
I see.
That would change everything.
Right.
And it might ruin everything.
Yeah, is that this is Johnny, by the way. For a lot of guys, okay, first of all, I've been married four times, so clearly I've had some affairs. The emotional affair, as soon as I saw the title of your book, because we've got it right here in the studio, and TJ's going through it with a highlighter, actually, I related immediately because the first thing, so cliche on television and movies, the first thing a woman says when she finds out her man is cheating on her, do you love her?
Mm.
Yes.
Do you love her?
Because
if it's just sex,
that's more of a threat.
Yeah,
right.
If it's just sex, she can get around that by becoming sexier if she so desires. But if he loves her, then it's done. There's no place she can go. And that's where the major separation in a relationship takes place. If it's just sex, it's just sex. I mean, we got hookers for that stuff.
Yeah.
but it's the emotional connection that severs the ties.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're right, and that's the biggest threat, although it can be repaired, even if that person says, yeah, I think I do love this other woman. It doesn't mean that he or she can't end the emotional affair and recommit to the person that they fell in love with first.
So that's a long road to hoe, though.
So are you saying that? Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, it's worth it. Yes, it might be a long road to hoe, but you fell in love with that person for a reason, and there's a good chance that people can get through sexual affairs. They can certainly get through emotional affairs and come out the other side with even a stronger, better relationship than they started.
So the idea is that is it the idea that the emotional affair is the gateway to the physical affair? Is that
no?
Is that the,
no?
Not necessarily, right?
It can be, but it's not inevitable.
So then,
the key is to understand that people, men and women, both need people to share their emotions with. We feel lonely, and sometimes within our marriage, we just feel like, gee, I just cannot. I've lost my friendship with my partner. I wanted to be her best friend, and now it doesn't feel like that anymore. And now here's somebody at the office, and she's talking to me, and I can talk to her about anything and everything. It could lead to a sexuality and a total affair, but it could just as well.
So could a plane trip
at
lead,
the emotional level.
So in other words, what I'm wondering is then, is this necessarily, I'm playing devil's advocate, just looking to move an interview along here. What is so wrong then? In other words, what is so wrong? And I'm literally, I'm asking, I'm just being devil's advocate there. I'm just, So what is wrong here with an emotional,
well, because, for instance, we have some questions that we in our book that we have people ask and ask themselves and the partner can ask too. Am I more likely to tell my friend what bothers me than my partner? Am I likely to think that my friend understands me better than anybody else, including my partner? Am I taking time away from my family? I run upstairs to get on the internet, to get on that chat line with my partner every hour. I'm with my emotional affairs partner an hour or two every night.
Right.
It's emotional affairs are like thieves that pilfer energy and love and commitment from the committed relationship.
Right. So when you start doing things in secret and stuff and have like maybe a second life, then you probably have an emotional affair.
That's a good way of putting it. There's a secretiveness to it.
Right. Right. And the same kind of reactions, I guess, the same kind of questions from your partner that normally they would ask about a sexual affair as well.
Yes. Why are you spending so much time with that person? Are you in love with her? Are you cheating? And the difference is, in an emotional affair, you can look at your partner and bat your eyes and say, I don't know what you're talking about. Mm. I'm not having sex with her. I'm totally innocent. And there's a lot of denial, and it's a little fuzzier, I have to admit, than a sexual affair, so that it's easier to deny and minimize what you're doing, but it can destroy a marriage.
Mm. Yeah.
What do you think? Yes, it can. Yeah.
So this has happened to you, Johnny, as well.
Well, I was on the perpetrating side.
I see.
An emotional relationship, an emotional affair.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's... I'm one of those guys that I can't have sex with a woman just for the sake of having sex a one-nighter. I've never had a one-nighter in my life. I have to be connected with them.
Yeah.
So for me, it always started out as an emotional affair.
Right.
Until I was actually... Because none of my first three wives were never my friends.
Mm.
Rhonda, as you guys know, my wife is my best friend, and is somebody I would, to even think of anything outside of that is just inconceivable to me. So I understand fully where the emotional affair can happen, because you find fulfillment with that person at an emotional level. They ask you questions, they care about what you think.
Right,
whereas at home, your wife, she's got the kids, she's had a long day. And you're not thinking about her. You're thinking about you, because we're all self-centered human beings. Yeah. We really are.
So, Ronald, how do you avoid something like this? I mean, is this pretty much the classic answer, take care of your marriage, try to improve communication, things like that?
Kelly?
Well, yes. To avoid it, you need to know what you want in life, and you need to know how much you need to share, you want to share with your partner, and you have to find a partner who's willing and able to talk to you and with you about what's really important to you, and also, of course, for you to give that to your partner. If you're in an emotional affair, then my analogy is this. You have to break off the emotional affair, because that puts one foot in and one foot out of your marriage, and then you have to jump back in. And when I say marriage, I really mean a committed relationship, because it's not only about married people that this happens. But the key is to jump back in with both feet emotionally be there with your partner, and you have to break off your emotional affair, which, of course, can be very painful.
Right, right. Well, Ronald, this has been fascinating. Yeah. I mean, I could talk about this for days. Yeah. Anything else you guys
want to add? Yeah, who's more susceptible to this, men or women, or is it right down the middle?
Both. I think that both men and women desperately want emotional connection, and if you don't feel like you're getting it in your marriage or your committed relationship, you might start looking for it outside.
I have to agree with him 100%, because like I said, my fourth wife, which is in my eyes my first love, the connection's there all the way through, and I never ever had that with my other three wives. You know, I had no business, you know, getting married to them in the first place, except, you know, the reduction in rent. That was about it.
Yeah, I can relate. Because I could not imagine life without my wife. I could not imagine it on any level. And I mean, and I've weathered the storm of being without a lot of my buddies and my family, and you know, from the day I met her, there's that thing that I would be. There would be a vacuum there that just would not be able to be filled by anything.
Yeah, so we happen to be happy men, which is good, happily married men.
Yeah.
So that's good. But a fascinating book, The Emotional Affair by Ronald Potter Efron. Do you have any website we should go to, or should we just look for the book?
I don't, but you can get it through New Harbinger Publications.
I see, okay. And is this available in any bookstores, online?
Yeah,
anywhere?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see. I have a 800 number here. If I could get
good,
that.
Good. Yes. Please do.
1-800-748-6273.
Thank you very much, sir.
I have one more question, if you don't mind, Sam.
Go ahead.
Did you write this book as a tool for, let's say, the jilted partner to discover what's going on, or for the person that's going through the emotional affair to discover what they're actually doing?
Mm. Yeah, my wife and I wrote the book together. I should give her credit.
Yeah.
We wrote it. There's about half the chapters are for the partner of somebody having an emotional affair, and half the chapters are for the person who might be having one himself or herself.
No.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. So it covers all. Yeah. Wonderful.
It covers both bases.
Right. Thank you so much, sir. All the best to you. And again, The Emotional Affair, Ronald Potter Efron. All the best to you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye. All right. So that's pretty interesting.
Did you hang
stuff,
up the phone?
Right? Yes.
What a spark plug, huh?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Gotta have him over. Holy fuck. My God.
DJ, it's my show. You gotta respect the guests.
Yeah. I did until you hung up the phone and I had to say it all. Jesus Christ, Susie's sleeping in Australia.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to, without further ado.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
Not everybody yells like you and me. Pardon me, you and I.
So, no, you and me, it's true.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
nobody yells like we.
Yeah. Anyway, Susie.
Excuse me. Shalom.
Shalom to you.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie. You don't even sound like yourself.
Oh, that's great morning voice. I love that.
Yeah.
I just want to get you a cup of coffee right now.
Oh, no, I don't drink coffee. I just get a little poke in the back.
you did it that way?
She's already up to her shenanigans.
You took a poke in the back last night?
I'm just kidding. I can't talk. Hold on. I'm with my sister's friend right now.
Awesome.
Because couch surfing is a nightmare.
Oh, really? You don't like it?
Oh, God.
No.
Yeah, she was out to do couch surfing the whole trip. Found someone to spend the day with?
I've spent actually one night on an actual... Actually, no nights on a couch. I did... Do I sound as bad as I feel like I sound?
No, you just cut out a little bit, but are you on a wireless there? Wireless internet or something?
Yeah, I'm on Wi-Fi.
That's
no,
okay.
That sounds good.
That's fine. Okay. No, but you sound good. You sound great. So, are you having fun, Susie?
I am having so much fun. This place is unbelievable.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Is it like summer there now?
It's summer. I flew up to Brisbane today.
Oh, nice.
Because my sister's friend from medical school, this girl Heather, she actually, her boyfriend moved to Australia and she forgot her laptop in LA. She got drunk on the plane and left it on Qantas for her layover.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, sure, I'll bring your laptop to you.
Uh-huh.
Not knowing that it was a 15-pound laptop.
That bitch is fucking heavy. I've been traveling all over with it. And so I finally was like, fuck it. I'm flying to Brisbane to drop this off to see another part of the country.
Cool. So is that where you are now?
Yes, I'm up in Brisbane. Okay. I've been in Sydney, Coogee, Bondi. I call it Bondage Bay.
Wow. And you've only been there, what, a week now, right?
Not even.
Wow.
5 days. Yeah. But because I flew out on Monday and I got here on Wednesday.
Oh, that whole thing. Yeah,
the international.
Yeah, it sounds like me going to Iraq. Same thing. I left on a Monday, landed there in 1972. It was weird.
Landed there.
Hi, guys. I miss you.
Well, we miss you too. Aww. I mean, you can imagine. And
congratulations on the new station, Sammy Sam Sam.
Thank you, sweetie. I'm really proud and happy with it. And
he's working hard. He's working hard. He's working hard.
I told you, you come back, you'll find a new station. But
I can't wait. Yeah. But, I hope the old one's still there, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's still here. And you know what? It occurred to me the other day that I'm ready to do another fucking show. And, you know, I mean, too bad, obviously, you're not here.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But I was so eager to do a show, you know? I mean, it's just been...
Oh, you mean get in here and do a show?
Yeah. What did I sound like I said?
I thought you meant, like, start, like
starting
a new
show? No, it sounded like you wanted to do one on Channel 2 as well.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I was like, you're really insane.
I think your heart just fucking dropped. No, not at all,
Susan. I was like, excuse me, I need all of your energy focused on me.
Yes.
I'm a high-maintenance pick here.
You are anything but high-maintenance.
You're couch surfing, for the love of God. Throw you a can of tuna. It's a banquet. You're all right. You're okay. You're happy. You're a happy kid. You have low threshold.
Yeah.
Couch surfing.
All I
could
tell
never.
You is I know how to travel. Like I've traveled. I'm like staying in like king size beds, like nice places. And guess what, Sam? Guess what?
Guess what? I'm guessing. Go ahead.
I'm Jewish by injection as of yesterday.
Ah.
Someone got some matzo balls.
Australian Jew.
You had matzo balls on your chin.
Matzo balls. That's really funny.
Yeah.
No, he was actually a South African Jew.
Oh,
that's the worst kind of Jew.
That's what he said. I didn't believe he was a Jew until like after I had slept with him, and then he told me he was a Jew, and I was like, no way. And he's like, yes way. And
you didn't taste like a Jew.
Funny, you know.
I was like, is this what kosher tastes like?
So he made an incursion into your Gaza Strip, did he?
Yeah, and made a deposit, too.
He made a deposit on the way out. Wow.
Oh,
whoa,
no.
Where did you meet him? You've been there for 5 days and already a bank. Wait, I just did the math on this.
God, I know a lot of...
What about this guy?
Well, where did I meet him?
Really? That's like the irrelevant part of the conversation.
Oh, Susie. Oh, Susie, Susie, Susie.
No. Excuse me. Let me start with his name, because I did tell him I would give
him Moisha. I can't believe you're a Jew. His name is...
Moisha.
His name is Solly. Yeah, what's
his name? I'm going with his alias, which is Max Powers.
Max Powers. Okay. Why is that?
He's a performance artist.
I don't know. He didn't want me to tell his real name.
He's a performance artist.
No, but why Max Powers? Because he's got a lot of powers to the max?
He has a lot of power. I'll give him that.
I see. Okay. So what I don't understand, Susie, is you said usually you don't go to bed the first time. Does that mean you've seen him more than once before you went to bed?
She saw him. He left the room. He came back.
Yeah.
There you are. Get over here.
I spent 2 nights with him.
Oh, 2 nights.
Ah, but the international dateline, that don't count. The one you met him on the plane, didn't you? You're trying to make it sound 2 nights. Ah, Jesus Christ. Susie, where did you meet the guy?
Yeah, we want to hear all about it.
A place called the Golden Sheaf.
I was just going to say, what bar? Okay, so the Golden Sheaf.
Well, I've got to back up a bit.
Okay.
Isn't that how you got in trouble in the first place?
Hey.
Oh, what a fun.
That
you.
Was
Thank
quick. Go ahead.
Hold on. I feel like I should go outside.
Why? Are you...
Isn't that how you got in trouble in the first place? Okay.
Are there people sleeping?
You left the house. That's where it all came tumbled down when she left the house.
Yeah. Or the guy's there and she doesn't seem to hear or something.
No. So, I'm at my sister's friend's house right now with her and her boyfriend.
Oh, I see. Okay. So what do you care what they hear? Go ahead.
Well, I don't care what they hear. He has to wake up soon and go to work. So I wanted to try and be slightly polite.
Oh, okay.
But fuck it.
What is this work thing that you
speak
of?
I don't even know it. I don't work.
Well, that's what he was saying to me, because last night we were trying to get pot at the bar. Mm-hmm. we're like, hey, we want to get some dope, man. Like, we're looking at any kind of, like, hippie kind of person we can find. And the person's like, are you a narc? And I'm like, I'm not a narc. I was like, Jesus Christ. But, and then her boyfriend was like, yeah, we got to go home. I got to go to bed. I've got to go to work. Some of us have to work tomorrow. I was like, actually, I have to work tomorrow, too, at 3:30 in the morning. Thank you very much.
Wow. Well, we appreciate it.
So you met him at the Golden Sheath.
While buying weed.
No,
this just gets better.
Yeah.
The thing
you're
is,
consistent,
did you ever get the weed? That's what we need to know.
Yeah.
We already know. No. We already know that you got the schlong. Did you get the weed?
Oh my God! No, never got the weed, but did get the schlong.
You got the schlong. Was it pretty nice size? I guess she sounds pretty pleased, so I would imagine you had a good time.
It was a nice Italian sausage, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Italian. A Jewish Italian sausage.
South African. Sam, I have a joke for you.
Okay.
Why do Jews have big noses?
Because air is free.
God damn it.
Yeah.
You think it's Sam so fucking is old. Not a friggin'. Oh.
Plus, you've got two other comedians
in here.
Yeah,
I was going to say, between the three of us, you think you're going to slip one past?
Yeah, try to stump us.
Okay, I have another one.
I'm sure you do.
Okay. A Jewish guy with an erection runs into a wall.
Yeah.
Right. He breaks his nose.
Yeah, that gets a go. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, actually, she deserves her applause button. Yeah.
Well done.
Well played, D'Artagnan.
Somebody take that button away from him.
They love the buttons just as much as I do.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, never
oh,
mind.
Is the echo
that?
Working yet, by the way? Is my echo working?
I don't think so, no. No, I'll fix it for you. See. Yeah.
I'm sorry, it was on my mind. Buttons. Yeah. Now, don't
back,
start playing.
I want to learn how to use the board because I want to play with the buttons.
No, that's trouble. There's too many people playing with a fucking board.
Look, you have one button and
exactly.
One button.
Yeah, there's one button that rules you.
Go and play with your own fucking button.
Yeah.
She don't need to.
You just worry about that button, sweetheart.
Speaking of my button, I lost my emergency vibrator in New York.
Mm-hmm. And what's the emergency
just
one?
Just look
like?
A little deeper, sweetheart.
That's funny. I have an emergency tube sock. And it's named Susie.
Just did you paint like eyes and mouth?
Actually, I got one of those ponytail extensions and sewed it on.
Oh my God!
You lost your emergency vibrator. So what's?
I specifically fell asleep with it clutched in my left palm after my session. Mm-hmm. That way, I wouldn't like leave it in the bed when my mom went to like. You know, I don't know, make my bed or whatever.
Oh, so it's back at your family home.
I think so.
Oh, either that or it's up you.
Someone discovered
Mom's
it.
Using it to make margaritas right now.
That's actually pretty funny.
Or mom's having a session.
Excuse me.
Creepy.
My mother would do no such thing.
No.
She's horrified by such things.
Yeah.
Sessions? Your mother's horrified
sessions.
By sessions?
Yes.
Mm. I mean, can you imagine a kid like Susie? I mean,
I'm about to have a daughter, and I swear to God, I'm sitting there going, this is vagina run amok. This cannot happen.
No.
This cannot happen with my child.
Take it to church early.
Vagina run amok. My kid's going to go to a fucking convent.
Oh, actually, speaking of kids, have you had yours yet, TJ?
No, sweetheart. No.
Not yet. But
We're about a month out.
I want my godchild now.
Oh, Christ in heaven. That's the insert
you can't
omen
transfer
joke
your,
here.
Insert what?
Yeah,
insert Damien joke
insert
here.
Yeah.
Insert.
You cannot give any of your energy to TJ's daughter.
Yeah, no. Away.
I am a child care technician. People pay me a lot of money to spend quality time with their small children.
That's true, TJ.
Yeah,
I mean, she's good with kids.
Yeah, sure.
Good. Can you work with mine? They're 19 and 24.
Now that would be hot. No offense to your daughters, that would be hot.
Hey, they're of age of consent. They can do whatever they want.
Johnny, are your kids that old?
Yeah,
isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, my oldest has a bachelor's degree. My youngest will be 20 next month. Yeah.
You see, Susie's great at making someone feel old. You know,
I don't feel old.
No,
I don't. No, I still wake up with wood every morning. That 2x4, my wife
had him when he was like 14.
No, actually, I was. I'm a lot older than you think I am. I'm
really?
40. Yeah, I'm 47.
Yeah.
You're remarkably well preserved.
He really is.
It's all the drugs.
Thank you.
Okay. I took Leonard Skinner in high school.
Oh, good. I'm working on that right now too.
That's why. That's why you said you went to the bar to find pot. I wanted to know.
So, Susie, do you see an end game to this? Do you ever see yourself, I hate to say the phrase settling down because it's so cliche, but do you ever see, you know, this, you know, you sort of, I don't know. You know,
married with kids.
I don't even necessarily say that. Not even that extreme. But do you ever see a slowdown to this insanity that you live because of fucking disease?
I see jealousy rearing its ugly head.
No. Oh no 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 no. This is like that Big Brother rearing his head right here.
I've had two fully sober days and nights since I've been here.
Not what it's cracked up to be, is it?
Actually, I was getting a little bit dizzy. Because when I was taking the cab yesterday, or last night, from the airport in Brisbane to my friend's house, mm-hmm. I have this little, a 25-year-old Indian man. His name was DJ. And so he decided to, ask me if I was going to have an arranged marriage or if I had a nice husband waiting for me at home. And I was like, what?
So, and by the way, I like how you're saying Brisbane like you're an Aussie. I like how you're saying Brisbane. The rest of America, we all say Brisbane.
But do we?
But Brisbane.
Mm. It's Brisbane. Yeah, it's Brisbane.
Yeah. One in Rome.
You should have heard me before. I was like, Bondi Bay? I'm in Bondi Bay. And Bondi. Everyone was like, oh, they're like, no, sweetheart, you're in Bondi.
It's
Bondi Bay.
By the way, that is one of my top three. I can't stand that accent, that Australian accent.
Really?
I can't stand it. Yeah. It just nails on a chalkboard for me.
Really, yeah. South African accent is pretty cool, actually. You know,
South African's one thing. But
I was making him speak Afrikaans in bed.
Really?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it got me all hot and bothered. I was like, say something in Afrikaans again. And I was like, oh, yeah.
You can't vote.
Apartheid. Apartheid.
Nigger. Nigger.
That's Afrikaans. Oh, my God. Apartheid.
Wash colored nigga, separately.
Nigga.
So you're probably not going to see the guy again, though,
necklace,
right?
Necklace.
Or are you?
Actually, everyone I've stayed with has invited me back whenever I want.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, of course. You're a very gracious guest.
Jesus Christ. Because you know what? You know you are. No, because you know what? Susie's being Susie. She's like, you know, just sort of being her. She's that free spirit. She's walking around wearing a T-shirt that's not covering her ass. And she's
actually,
wearing
I'm not wearing anything on the top. My little tiny titties are so sunburned right now because you can go topless here.
See?
Really?
See? And of course people are asking.
Do you need someone to put lotion on for you?
It puts the lotion on its skin or it gets the hose.
Actually, I really do because they are rather sore. And so you're walking around your sister's friend's place, who her boyfriend is there, and you're walking around topless.
Yeah.
Golf clap.
No, that's a goddamn. That's a Mormon tabernacle fucking applause. That's a fucking.
I want a heralding of angels.
Yeah.
On that.
La 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 la. Fuck it. That's a Nuremberg rally right there. That's
big
a freaking.
Fan.
It's a
Susie
Raleigh, is what it is.
There you go.
Well played.
Yeah, nicely done.
Yeah. She comes up with good ones, man.
Yeah. Jesus. So, of course, people are asking you back like you're surprised. I don't know.
Can I back all the way up to my day that I got here?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Which is what, yesterday? 40,
yeah, right? Yeah.
5 days ago.
Right.
So, but I have a layover. First of all, I was really tired. I didn't wake up for one free drink on the 18 hours worth of flights.
Uh-huh. You didn't get one free drink? You didn't get one free drink over 18 hours?
You slept the whole time?
No, I slept the whole way.
Okay. Wow.
I took a whole bunch of sleeping pills, but...
I'm sure.
Did you fly coach? Did you fly coach?
I did.
That's a friggin' long flight, man.
Oh, yeah, I've done that, too. I took off from LAX to Heathrow, took a pot brownie and a Xanax. I woke up in Iraq. It was great. Wow.
You woke up with a sore ass, probably.
Yeah, but he did call.
I've had that happen to me before, too.
What, you were done anally without your permission?
Well,
I just cringed just a little bit inside.
Yeah, I know you're kidding.
I just cringed a whole lot outside.
We would have known about that by now.
No, she gave permission.
Yeah. So, Susie, you mentioned something. I know you've got a lot of stories from New York as well, right?
Actually, can I tell you guys this one story from New York? It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
So my mom and I got in a little bit of a fight the 2 days before I was leaving to go back to L.A. for a day. And so I call my boss, this woman, DJ, who lives in Los Angeles. because I know she has an apartment in the village. And I said, DJ, can I borrow your apartment? And she's like, yes. My superintendent has a spare set of keys. And I'm like, all right, cool. So my girlfriend and I go and we pick up the keys. We go to the apartment. It's gorgeous. We're loving it. Then we go out for the night. And so it's, let me start with this one little story. So I sit down at the bar and we're waiting for a whole bunch of our guy friends to show up. And I have two empty seats next to me. And a really hot couple walks into the bar. And they go to sit down next to me. And I was like, excuse me, I'm sorry, but both these seats are taken. And they're like, oh, okay, like, all right, I guess we'll just leave. They go to leave, and something inside me says, don't let them leave. So I get up. I tell them, I was like, no, I'm sorry. I was like, that was rude of me. Come back. Have a seat. My friends are late. They could stand. So they come back and sit down, and they say, what do you do? And I say, I live in L.A., and I have a sex talk radio show.
Sex talk. Go ahead.
You have been pigeonholed.
That's the way she described.
You've been pigeonholed, Sam.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Sorry. I've got a corner on this side of the world here, a good market. But but so anyway, then the husband says to me, he says, oh, ho, you invited us back for the right reason. He's like, she's a professional dominatrix.
Really?
So I was like, yeah, and she's totally hot, as is he. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Next thing you know, by the end of the night, I'm standing inside the bar, making out with the two of them at the same time, with his hand down my pants.
Wow.
She's spanking my ass, his hands down. I'm like, oh my God, this is like
in the bar?
Control.
Where's your
in the
friend?
Bar.
Where's your friend?
Filming.
To the left.
To the left.
About like 2 feet to the left, yeah.
Was she wanting to be involved in this, or was she just watching?
Actually, she was wanting to be involved.
Keep going. Fuck me. Go ahead. Tell the fucking story.
Sam, lock the door and get the two tube socks off the sign.
Go.
So, Sam,
tell the story, but slow.
I need to take a work vacation when I get back. It's to Boston to this sex party.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'll get to that later.
Tell the story!
TJ wants to finish. Hurry up.
So I've got her hand in my ass, his hand in my vagina. I'm making out with both of them at the same time. I'm like, this is a great marriage. I'm like, I love these people.
Yeah.
They are so much fun. And so then they invite me and my girlfriend back to their house to have a little session for the evening. I actually decline. I was like, thank you guys very much. I was like, but my girlfriend just had a baby, blah, 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 blah. I don't think she's ready for it yet. So I get their information, so they're going to come on the show, believe it or not. But so then Anna and I leave, my girlfriend. So then we go back to my apartment after ditching our other guys, and we decide we're going to go to bed. But then I get a phone call from my friend Lucia, who lives in L.A. but is visiting New York, and says, Susie, I'm coming over. Get your ass up. And I was like, oh, fine.
Oh,
so we put some drugs
existence.
Out on the kitchen table, decide to do some wake-up drugs. After there, my friends come over, and then we all get ready to go out. My friend Lucia's cousin is so goddamn hot, you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, I'm waking people up.
That's okay. Hold on. In bed with him. Grab a cock and then keep talking.
Just don't talk with your mouth full.
Yeah, that's all.
Just talk with your mouth full. All right, so anyway, we start going out to this other bar at like 2:30 in the morning, and we're all getting even drunker and blah, 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 blah. And then my friend Anna at 4 in the morning is like, Susie, I'm really tired. I want to go home. And I give her the keys, so she goes home. So 4:30 in the morning, Eli, my friend's cousin, who's super hot, is a gentleman and decides to walk me home, also probably thinking that he would get some.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but so Anna buzzes us up to the apartment, and this is in the village. We take the elevator up to the fifth floor, which is where the apartment is, and Anna comes out to let us in. The door closes behind her at 4:30 in the morning, locking us all out of the apartment.
Hmm.
Nice. So no Susie grabbed the cock.
Okay. No, this gets so bad. I almost was killed.
What?
Like, literally almost killed. So my friend's crying because her phone's in there, and what if her baby needs her, and her parents are babysitting? And I'm like, oh, fuck. So Eli and I are like, have no fear. We're really drunk, and I'm wearing high heels, and it's pouring rain out. We're going to take the elevator to the roof, go down the fire escape, and try and break in.
Mm.
So that's exactly what we do. And I count down to like the right floor, and I count like to number 5, and I go down the fire escape with Eli. He says he's an expert at breaking in. He jimmies the window open. He's like, after you. I shimmy through the window. He shimmies in after me. Next thing you know, I'm standing in a bedroom that's not the bedroom I'm supposed to be standing in.
Wow.
This chick
gets out of her bed with a fucking bloody kitchen knife.
Wow.
Screaming, get the fuck out of my apartment.
Wow, Heather. Susie. You could have gotten fucking killed. Wow.
Hold on, she's naked. She is so hot. The girl I'm staying with, guys, I call her Chicken.
Uh-huh.
Because every picture she's in, she's showing a breast or a thigh.
Now, Susie, the moral of the story is, the next time a dominatrix couple wants to have sex with you, say yes. That's the moral.
She would have solved all the problems.
You want to come say hi, Heather? I'm going to bring a naked, sexy, sleeping girl to come say hello, guys.
Oh, where can we find a picture of her right now?
Probably on Facebook, right? Yeah.
Where can we find a picture of her
if
right
she's
now?
She's a doctor. She knows where all the right buttons are.
She has all the right buttons on?
No, yeah. She knows where all the buttons are.
See?
Actually, you know what? She's with my sister, like, doing, I don't know what she's doing, but she just failed interpersonal relations.
Great.
For like medical school, because she stuck two fingers up an ass in her practice exam instead of one.
Boy, that talk about an overachiever. Eager little lassie, isn't she? are their eyes supposed to get this big when I do that?
Is she going to talk to us?
Wait, what?
Is she going to talk to us? Put her vagina on the phone. Just put a pussy on the phone. Let's forget the girl. Let's just talk to a twat. Let's just talk to her Australian twat, because I can't stand that fucking accent. I wonder if her fucking twat talks Australian too.
She's from Philly. Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
She's from
New York. I love New York vagina. Where can we find a picture of her immediately?
Heather?
No.
Heather, where in New York is Heather from?
I'm from West Hampton.
West Hampton. You're out the island.
The island.
So,
yeah,
so you're rich. So you've had a whole life of cocaine and penises and that kind of existence.
No.
That's what happens in West Hampton.
She's only had four cocks.
That's all.
One time?
I don't know how I'm staying with her right now, but
yeah, you better catch up there, kid. You don't know what the hell you're in for. There's going to be a parade of freaking cocks in and out of your friggin' God Almighty. So what is she doing in Australia? I guess she can hear me. What are you doing in Australia?
I'm a medical student. I'm doing a rotation at uni.
I bet
here.
You are. And where? At uni.
At uni.
Oh, at uni. So you've gone Australian too. At uni in Brisbane.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, all friggin' mighty. I bet you just tell them no worries, right? No worries, right? I got them so sick of that one too. Everybody in freaking America says no worries.
I've been saying that forever.
I know. America adopted that one too. It's like when the Coloreds took over the Escalades.
We're not as uptight as you, TJ.
Ah. Seriously, Heather, where are there any pictures of you? Do you have a Facebook or anything like that?
She has a Facebook, but there's not a picture of her on Facebook. Actually, you know what? When I come back, I'm going to find some. I've got some pictures of Chicken.
I hate Facebook. It's kind of scary.
It is a little creepy.
I've got lots of pictures of this girl, and I'm telling you, that's why I call her Chicken. Breast or thigh, breast or thigh.
That's very funny, by the way, Chicken. That's very funny.
Yeah.
And I came up with that by myself. I thought it was good.
How much longer? Watch your head there, Sam. How much longer?
I'm going crazy.
That was really funny. That was really funny. How much longer? How much longer are you staying with her in Brisbane?
So whenever she kicks me out.
So tomorrow.
No.
So this morning.
Are you still naked right now, by the way, Heather?
Yeah, I'm going to go put on some pants.
No! Do that? All right.
No, because naked is great radio.
They like topless.
Yeah. Yeah, at least give us the illusion, you know?
Hey, Susie, take a picture of your sunburnt nipples. I want to see what sunburnt nipples look like.
Yeah, specifically yours.
You actually can't tell where my nipples begin and where the rest of it ends.
That's a picture we got to have then. Because I'll take that around and say it's the world's largest areola.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you very much. It's very kind of you. And it's actually a great conversation starter in the airport. Everyone came up to me and they're like, oh, darling, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. My fucking chest is falling off.
Wait. So hold on a minute. We're talking to a college student. Is there a webcam there?
Yes.
Put on a goddamn webcam. I can't believe we're actually having this conversation. Put on a webcam and let's Skype this fucking thing. Let's go.
I'll show you guys my sunburned titties too.
Now, and Heather. I want Heather and you.
Now.
To typical Republican, just demanding all the time.
Yeah.
You better comply. He's out of his mind.
Let's go. Enable. Click enable. Enable. Your whole life is enabling. Blow, cock, coke. Let's go. Enable.
TJ, we're on radio. You're not supposed to see anything.
Yes, you are. Yeah, we are.
She can describe.
What do we say? Are we blind as though? Are we sitting with our eyes closed? I can see everything. I'm looking at you. I'd rather look at her nipples.
Let me ask you this, Susie.
I can't handle my nipples. They're huge.
Seriously, put on the webcam. I can't even believe we're actually debating this. Put on a friggin' webcam.
Wait a minute, Susie. Why don't you describe her to us?
And then with the webcam on, I'll tell you if you're good at describing.
Yeah. What is she wearing now?
Now she's wearing a gray t-shirt. Yoga pants.
Oh, okay.
Are they crotchless?
Look incredibly perky.
Ooh. Oh.
She's not wearing a bra. Even though her breasts are ridiculously large, they are still perky for some unknown fucking reason.
How old is Heather?
Heather is 28?
27.
Wow. Older than my oldest daughter. She's fair game.
Yeah.
She has a boyfriend of like 10 years.
The web.
A boyfriend of 10 years?
She has a 10-year-old boyfriend?
No, of 10 years. Okay, that means it started at 18. Uh-huh. Yeah, I can see how she's only had four cocks. I mean, that's... Yeah.
The other three, she was 12.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Eventually, she'll find out what she's missing
out. I'm
making
up for the rest of them. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Apparently, you are.
Yeah.
None of them have tried having anal with me. And do you know what she said?
What?
She said, "What's wrong with my ass?"
Susie, seriously, I will never look at you the same way again. Now it's going to be a leer.
I look at Susie a different way every time I see her. I literally don't look at her the same way the next time, and then the next time, and then the next time. Seriously, I mean, where's the is the webcam up, Sam? Is it on? Sam's over there looking at the Skype. Is it on?
Yeah, TJ's hands are both under the table.
That or Susie, or call me back, or call during my show with the webcam on.
TJ, I'll try and call back during your show if I'm not sleeping.
Visual, schmizual, radio, audio. Fuck it. Give me the webcam. Let's go.
I mean, to see it.
Yeah. What is so wrong about that?
Listen, TJ's been married for a while. He needs some fresh stuff to look at.
His wife is 8 months pregnant. This guy's ready to explode.
I don't think you really take me very seriously right here, Susie. Heather was naked. There's a webcam in this room in Brisbane. So let's go. Let's go. Let's see something.
Somebody satisfy this man. He's creeping us out.
And running at all times.
So then let's go then.
DJ, can we get off the fucking webcam now?
No, we cannot.
It's not interesting radio.
It's very interesting radio. This is interesting, and as though I guarantee you, it's interesting radio.
Listen, okay, give me a moment, and we'll make it interesting. Okay, now I want you to describe Heather to us. What color hair does she have?
Heather has very dark chestnut hair.
I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this because it's going
to
drive me nuts.
About
I don't want to hear
the top of her nipple.
La, 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 la,
to
la,
the top of her nipple. Wow.
Which are double D's, so that's pretty long.
Double D's, and these are naturals?
They are very natural.
Really?
Okay, let me ask you this. When you lie on your back, do they point to the ceiling or to the windows?
I've never heard that one before. That's kind of funny.
You kind of look like an airplane when you lie on your back, or you look like a missile silo? I'm just trying to paint the picture, sweetheart.
Yeah. So Heather, are you a pretty busy masturbator too?
My two older sisters.
Okay, so TJ's not talking. He feels totally...
I'm just instant messaging my wife that I love her. Which is the goddamn truth. That's
I thought you lost interest here.
Right there. No, I didn't lose interest. I just know what drives me nuts. Yeah. And I know that there's two naked broads on the other side of the fucking world with a fucking webcam, and I'm sitting here like it's the ultimate perfect thing, and there's no webcam up, and so I'm like, you know, fuck it. I got to remove myself from this situation.
He's a little irritable right now, folks.
I got to remove myself from the situation. It's like when the Yankees are I got to walk out of the room.
Yeah,
I gotta walk out of here.
All I have to say is this poor girl woke up to pee and I intercepted her.
Naked.
She got up to pee naked. I saw like the profile and I'm like, oh, what's going on over here, Heather? And now she's being subjected to being objectified.
I don't hear any complaints, to be honest.
Let me just ask literally.
She's willing.
Susie, let me just ask literally, okay? This is just a literal question. Just give me the actual answer. why have we not had the webcam on? I mean, just tell me why. Because we're talking and talking
My webcam is on. Why does Sam not have the webcam on?
You know, motherfucker. You better.
I don't have a webcam.
I'm looking at this motherfucker.
I don't have a fucking webcam.
I told that motherfucker. Motherfucker over there. I told you before when you were crying and you had your panties in a bunch because I was going to Australia and you're like, don't go. And I'm like, I'm going. And I was like, I'm going to make a blow-up Susie, and I can put it right here, so you can have either that or you can use the webcam. And you're like, no, no webcam.
You going to make a real blow-up blow Susie?
I was going to make Sam a special going-away present of a blow-up doll Susie, complete with like a one of, you know, Johnny's chicken mouth?
Yes, which is awesome. I'd love to know the genesis of that. That thing is fantastic.
I'll tell you about
it. It's one of the most awesome things. Like,
my blow-up doll was going to have a mouth like that, but I looked into buying them, and they were kind of expensive, Sam, and no offense, but I'd rather spend my money on other things.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, yeah, like a jackhammer with a boxing glove on the end of it.
With a fucking South African accent.
Yes, Max Powers. Max
fucking you
Powers.
Got so have you met a didgeridoo that you haven't fallen in love with yet either?
would you do it?
That was fucking good.
No, that reminds me of that voice at some of the smoking commercials they have around here.
Oh yeah.
First of all, it's extremely unpleasant to buy cigarettes in this country.
Why?
They put the ugliest pictures on there.
Yeah, oh, really? That and the warnings and all that. Yeah, yeah. They've gotten quite graphic in England. At all.
They should do that with condoms. Put pictures of kids on them.
Oh, no. Quite graphic is the understatement. I actually went to buy two packs the other day, one for me and one for Max Powers' boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I just said boyfriend. I meant brother.
Okay.
Catch out of that bag, sweetheart.
You fucked a fag South African. You fucked a fag South African smoker.
There was nothing fagged about him at all.
Good.
He was
I'm sure
delicious.
His boyfriend will tell you that, too.
So, you guys, I'm asleep right now. I'm watching Heather do. Heather just broke the window, and I was about to say your boyfriend's gonna kill you.
Mm-hmm. She broke the window.
I think you better let her pee.
Yeah, after all this,
go back to the bedroom.
Yeah. Well, we needed to ask her about her masturbation habits and everything, but she's too busy.
Yeah, yeah. Since they're in Australia, does she spin at the other side?
Does she what?
Since you guys are in Australia, okay. First of all, does the water go the other way in the toilet? Because you're in Australia.
Yes.
Okay. That's basically what I was implying with was masturbation. Yes.
But she's too tired. It went right.
I think
her.
She really did go back to bed.
Mm. Cool, Susie.
Oh,
so.
No.
Have you met any cool friends out there and stuff?
Like that you haven't fucked?
I have slept with one man since I've been here multiple times. That's it.
Yeah, but what about friends, though? I mean, did you...
And Sam, I thought you would be happy. He was a South African Jew banker.
Well, I'm happy. I mean, well, what do you want me to say?
A Jew banker? What are the odds?
A Jew banker? My God almighty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I get a hot, good... South African Jew banker, uh-huh. And now I'm getting
that
shit for
so
it.
Fucking funny.
Nobody's giving you shit.
And I
for
met
anything.
This Irish priest. Isn't that wild? I gotta go to the banter.
Don't take one of my tube socks.
I won't. There's no goddamn webcam up.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. You don't have a webcam anymore. It's just me, TJ.
I did enable the webcam.
Oh, these guys are arguing over a webcam.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, TJ's driving me crazy with this webcam. Just send him a couple pictures, Susie. It'll be fine.
I have met Sam some amazing friends out here.
Really?
Yeah. Starting with the first person. So I'm in Fiji. I have a layover in Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in the airport, and I hold my first bill of my first Australian bill up in the air, mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, "Oh, this is really pretty," because there's a clear little window in it. Uh-huh. And the guy behind me is like, "You reckon it's fake?" And I was like, what? And I turn around, he's got two beers. It's 6 in the morning, he's holding two Coronas. And I was like, what? And he's like, you reckon it's fake? And I was like, no. I was like, it's just really pretty. And then he's like, you want a beer? And I was like, it's 6 in the morning. I was like, fuck yeah.
I'll take beer.
Yeah, the answer is always yes to that question. You want a blowjob or a beer? Right. Yes to both.
So I went and sat down with him, and he actually is a really cool guy. His name is Phil. He's a stuntman.
Mm. Yeah.
So he does, like, amazing movies. Like, he's done Australia and Pacific. And you know the movie or the book Where the Wild Things Are?
Yes. Yeah,
he's
it's a children's
book. He's
the main
guy in Spike Jonze's Where the Wild Things Are that's coming out soon.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah, so he's, like, he's just really cool. He does all kinds of crazy stunts. But so anyway, I'm talking to him, and he befriends me. And then I tell him I'm doing the couch surfing thing. And at this point, I'm getting closer to Australia, and I'm getting a little bit nervous. I don't fucking know anyone there, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yes. So, should have asked that a long time ago.
Well, see, it's easier for you with your equipment to couch surf than it is for someone like me and my equipment to couch surf.
There you go.
Exactly. But so I get to, we get to the second airport, we get to Sydney, and I meet him at the baggage claim, and he's got two drunk Irish guys with him. They were wasted. I took another sleeping pill and passed out. But so then he was like, Susie, he's like, I decided I'm going to kidnap you for the rest or for a couple nights. He's like, you're a really cool chick, and I feel badly you're doing this couch surfing thing, and I don't want you to spend New Year's with this crazy guy. Mm-hmm. So he's like, me and the Irish boys are kidnapping you. And I was like, really? So right really? From the back,
all of you
I never
at once?
Made it to my first, I never made it to my first couch.
Really?
Yeah, I went straight to partying with these guys. We went to Coogee Beach. And we spent the entire New Year's Eve day drinking. And then Phil and I went back to his place. His roommate was Paris Hilton's former bodyguard.
Mm. So let me understand this. So obviously these guys are all buying you drinks, right? You're not spending a penny on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, like Johnny said, you've got the equipment.
Yep.
Yeah.
I still have to buy my own beer. Go figure that one.
That's rather unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, even when I'm buying my own beer, I'm not really buying my own beer, so it doesn't really matter anyway.
Actually, you don't buy it, you rent it.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Not really.
So should we let you go back to sleep, Susie? We still need to talk about the Middle East, and I'm dying to pee. Unless you want to keep on talking.
No,
and
I want to know what the fuck is going on with the goddamn Middle East. I leave for like a couple days, and it goes to shit.
Yeah. It's all gone to shit.
It's been shit since before I was born.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean every day is a crisis in the Middle East.
What was irritating about it was that the rockets were coming in from the what do we call that government? The terrorist organization Hamas. And so the rockets are raining down, and it started hitting the news and all this when Israel started defending itself. That's when it all hit the news, and that's when, you know. Because
yeah, but people don't, they take it out of context and stuff.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Well, good, no, it's because the news takes it out of context.
Well, no, see, I don't take anybody's side. I'm just sick of turning on the news. Crisis in the Middle East, that's not news. That's not news. News is peace breaks out in the Middle East. That's news.
That's true. That would be news.
Good point. Good point.
A fucking nation fucking elects a fucking terrorist organization.
Yeah. But some people claim that they didn't really elect them, that they're all brainwashed and shit, which is true as well. So who knows? But yeah, that's what we have to do.
That's such a shitty excuse.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do, Susie? But listen, you stay with your vacation. Have a great time. We want to hear some more sex stories. Preferably one of you and that girl, Heather, doing some things to each other. That would be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And clearly, Susie, you and I do not hang out nearly enough.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, and to. Actually,
we'll
I
have
think,
Johnny
yeah,
sit
yeah,
in
we
when
hang
you come
out
back.
Too much.
Yeah.
The three of you guys sound good together. It's actually kind of fun hearing like three completely different male voices. I like it.
Cool.
There you
cool.
go.
I'm not even going there.
That is good.
I've
that
been doing a didgeridoo for years. Nobody knew what it was. All of a sudden, here comes I've been doing a didgeridoo forever.
It That's sounds cool. like a didgeridoo mixed with the guy who like had his like throat button taken out and has to push the button.
I've been smoking too long, and I now have throat cancer, and it's what's going to happen to you if you don't quit smoking.
That is so great on a resume.
Yeah, it's awesome. It goes a long way. It goes a long fucking way. Long way.
That and a college degree will get you an unemployment check.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Boys. All right,
sweetheart.
I'm going to go to bed.
Yes.
You do that. We'll see you when you get back, Susie. Have a great trip.
Yeah, and
wait, do you need me to call in again or anything?
If you're up later, call my show. If you're up later.
Well, obviously, we want you to call every day, but it's up to you.
Well, I called like earlier, and you're like, yeah, I'm busy.
Well, Susie, you called right at the 9:30, you know, and I told you, I sent you an email, call anytime except 9:30. And you called right at 9:30. I'm sorry.
I called at 3:30.
Okay, excuse me.
The time's a little different here.
Yeah, just a little bit.
All right,
Susie.
You know what, Sam? Next time, I promise, I will call at exactly whatever time you tell me.
Okay, cool. Or either we'll try and call you.
Okay.
All right, Susie. Well, everybody, this is Susie, and she's on live from Australia.
Australia.
Woo. In Brisbane, like TJ says.
Brisbane.
And,
yes. Yeah, so I'll be heading up north to the... Like, well, to Byron Bay, and then also, like, the Great Barrier Reef and stuff over the next couple of days.
Wow, nice.
And Noosa Head.
Yeah, and who knows how many more cocks waiting down the road there.
At least some Noosa Head.
Yeah.
how much Noosa Head can I get here, you know what I mean? Oh, boys, I love you.
All right. We love you too, Susie.
What?
No, I said we love you too.
Oh.
Keep it shiny.
Cool. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, we're going to take just a quick break because I'm dying to go.
Worry about that kid, goddammit.
Yeah? Don't worry about her.
She knows. Like the waking up drugs thing.
No, you know, she's done so much crazy shit. But you know what? She's going to mellow down. She's going to mellow out.
You know what? She's either going to mellow down.
24?
She's 26.
Oh, yeah. She's still, yeah.
She's either going to mellow or she's going to fucking die.
Yeah. No, I mean, she constantly says that she wants to settle down and have a family and all that stuff.
Makes me nervous. I worry about that kid. I love her. I know. She's a good kid. And the waking up drugs thing, that's where it's not cute anymore.
Yeah.
Because we know what waking up drugs is. That's not cute. A killer. Huh?
See, at my age, waking up drugs, coffee.
Yeah. The radio. Yeah, exactly. That's a waking up drug.
Go to sleep drugs.
I worry about it. I know you're listening, Susie. You worry about you, kiddo. You'd be all right. You take care of yourself. Don't hurt yourself.
Keep it shiny. That's all.
That's all. Keep it shiny.
All right.
She's in a constant state of shiny.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, that kid.
Let's take
a little break. We'll be back right after this.
Let me tell you something. on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
And then we go and we get in his bed. Uh-huh. And so we kind of start fooling around a little bit. And all of a sudden, like, he sticks his hand in my, you know, wet pussy. Like, I was wet from the pool and, like, wet from being wet. And all of a sudden, I queefed. And I had never, like, I'd never had a hand
for
in
those
my...
who don't know what queefing is, it's a pussy fart.
Yes, it's a pussy fart.
Pussy fart. That's
so he sticks his hand in my pussy and I queef. So I was so mortified. Like, my face turns red and he pulls his hand out and he was like, oh my God, that was disgusting. Put your clothes on. I'm taking you home.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, LA Talk Radio.
Rempy is not hook me up. Greg, if you're listening, you got to hook me up, man. I need more previouslys. I need more fucking bumpers and shit, man.
Yeah, you do.
He's tinkering for everyone else. The fuck did I do to you, Rempy?
I don't have any previouslys. I just get redos of my Facebook friend shout-outs.
Yeah, you get good stuff. I get nothing. I get nothing from him. I got one bumper and like whatever.
Do you want me to tell you how you can? One word, ask.
I don't get it.
Okay,
that.
You
no,
gotta ask.
No, I don't like asking.
Okay. He's a Republican, he expects it.
The Democrats expect! What are you talking about? That's like Bizarro World Republican. That's Bizarro World Republican. That's a Democrat. Liberals expect.
I just want to see if I can get him going, and I did.
Republican with a handout. So dig this. I said earlier that I got this green thing. He said earlier, he said, yay, green. Here we go. More of this debunking of this bullshit.
Yeah, because it's okay to trash the planet.
Yeah, no, it's not okay. You'll never find anyone with a brain that says it's okay to trash the planet. I don't want to trash the planet.
Have you seen the Great Pacific Garbage Patch?
Sea ice ends year at the same level as 1979.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to a rapid rebound in recent months, global sea ice levels now equal those seen 29 years ago when the year 1979 drew to a close, which is also the same year that Newsweek had articles about the coming global ice age.
Mm. Okay, first of all, you're talking about global warming versus not trashing our planet.
It's
two different things.
Shit, it's a load of shit. No, I agree. No. We don't want to trash the planet, but I'm talking about... I'm just saying,
what kind of diapers are you going to use for your baby?
In order for cloth diapers to make a difference...
All right,
No. I will not be using cloth diapers. However, the fact of the matter is, in order for cloth diapers to make a difference, mm-hmm. they must be... One of the aspects of making them worth is that they have to be... there's something about sterilizing and something is evidently that unless every single check is checked on the usage of cloth diapers, they actually leave a bigger footprint than diapers.
How many cloth diapers end up in landfills? Let me ask you.
No. I'm talking about the carbon footprint and the trade-off and the reason why people would use in order for it to be in order. I actually did a whole show about this about 2-3 months ago where there are so many criteria that have to be met that if you don't meet each and every criteria, mm-hmm. the use of cloth diapers not only is it a push, but in a lot of cases it actually leaves a bigger footprint than diapers.
I would love to see. That study. If you can forward that to me, I will.
I have to go digging. I have to go find it. But I did it. It was all right there.
A cloth diaper doesn't last 500 years in a landfill, or use a cup of oil to make. Versus
right, but it's honestly it was
a disposable. It,
I was fascinated too. But
just let the kid run naked through the house.
I'll just say people talk about power about fear mongering and et cetera, and you know I tell you there's just as much fear mongering on the left about the environment. There are kids out there who are losing sleep because they are being met with such fear and other things in school and on the playgrounds and from their liberal crunchy friggin' parents who are just putting the fear of God into them that the world is about to friggin' erupt into a big flame because of global warming, which by the way it's not global warming anymore because we realized that global warming when it actually wasn't warming anymore now it's called the climate crisis. As soon as a big conglomerate starts changing its catchphrases, you know there's something afoot. Okay, there's something that's a little rotten in Denmark. So the climate crisis, there are little kids, there's a there's a woman I'm going to have on my show either this the end of this week or early next who's put out a book, and it's basically it's a children's book to meant to sort of just chill them a little bit because of all the fear mongering being put in, all the fear being put into the kids, and you know that's how they're operating, man.
Yeah, you, that is you absolutely don't want to how they're scare operating. The kid, you just want to teach. I had a 12-year-old. I almost beat the living shit out of a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Over the holidays because he crosses the street. We're right there at Hollywood and La Brea, and he's got this bag of popcorn, and he dumps the popcorn on the ground. No big deal. Pigeons will eat that.
Sure.
And then drops the bag.
Right.
At my feet.
Right.
It's like, whoa, dude, come on, pick that up.
See,
and he looks at me and goes, why?
Right.
But let me ask you something. Do you think it was your responsibility to tell him that?
Yeah, I think it is.
I agree.
Yeah, it was my responsibility.
So let me ask you quickly, okay, because this is interesting. When I came back from my – I went out of town for 2 days.
Right.
I came back on a plane. I dropped off the car rental, and I'm standing there in line, and my coffee spilled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there was some on the ground. I'm like, looking, what am I going to do? Nobody comes to help me out with this. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to clean this.
Right.
So I just left it.
Right.
Okay, and I'm walking away. So this woman is, are you going to leave it like this? I said, yeah. I said, what would you like me to do? She says, clean it. I said, how? She says, oh, well, you can go and get some blah, blah, blah. I said, you know what? So I just kind of ignored it, and I kept going.
Yeah.
And she's like, do you do this at home? And I turned around, and I said, how about you mind your own business, and I'll mind my own.
Okay, well, see, here's the thing. You spilt coffee.
Right.
Coffee.
That ain't littering.
Yeah, that ain't littering. You didn't throw...
No, but she felt it was her responsibility to stick her nose in my business.
Well, okay, if I watch you spill coffee and walk away, I'm thinking, the janitorial service inside this building, we'll get it later. No,
and normally
coffee.
I would never... I mean, I don't like leaving my shit for other people to clean up. But in this case, it's like, what am I going to do?
Yeah,
so go ahead.
Well, but this kid actually just—we're talking a foil bag, you know, it was like I mean, he took the bag, dumped out half its contents, and dropped it. Even his friend with him said, "Dude, what are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Pick that up, kid." And he looks at me, and goes, "Why? Why should I pick that up?"
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not going to take care of itself. A janitorial service isn't coming by and picking that up. That is littering.
Yeah.
Spilling coffee.
No,
that,
of course
coffee
it is.
Evaporates.
But I'm not saying that it's not littering.
I think
what I'm
you're obviously. You're talking about the mind your own business aspect.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, he doesn't owe you an answer because you're not, you know, I mean, if you're not a cop, then as far as he's concerned, you're nobody.
I think the kid's 12, 13, 14 years old. Johnny's the adult, and obviously this kid doesn't have the right-minded adults in his life.
Right.
I think the way the world, the way the universe is, Johnny absolutely has a right to say,
really?
Hey, kid, the fuck? I do that.
I live on this planet, too, so it is my fucking business.
See, now here's the thing, though. I'll leave the word planet out of it because planet, to me, we get into a crunchy area, okay? I start to say, my thing is
coming
is
from
that,
a man that drives a Cadillac.
My thing is a state-of-the-art car, which really, honestly, it's probably just as much impact as any six-cylinder smaller car, probably. Yeah. You know,
mine's leaking oil right now.
Johnny's got the Valdez under his car right now. But the thing is, though, is that honestly, I just think that I don't think we need to, it's kind of like my theory on the state of comedy is how, like, you know, when we start pigeonholing and saying, oh, tonight's Latino comedy night or girls in comedy night, I think you're watering it down. I think when we start talking about reasons to be kind to the planet or whatever, I think it's about don't litter. You don't make a fucking mess.
Yeah.
You take responsibility for your fucking actions. You don't, you take that extra 4 minutes of carrying something till you find a garbage can and then you use the garbage can. That's my thing. Is that I don't think we need. I don't think. Like, I think murder is murder is murder. If somebody murders a gay guy because he's gay, murder is murder is murder. I think the hate crime thing. Mm-hmm. I think just makes it a little bit whatever. I think we start. You follow? I mean, I don't want to get into that whole can of worms, but I mean, I think people just need to. I don't think you'll find one Republican who wants dirty air or filthy lake. I mean, you know,
of
you
course,
don't find
yeah.
one who wants it. You know, that's silly. But I just think that when you start ruling with fear, like people people complain about how we do national security based on fear or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that when it's the global warming thing, I think you're scaring kids and you're wasting airwaves with this whole thing. Whatever. The global, again, I was 8 years old. I remember hearing about this fucking ice age coming.
Yeah.
And now here we are, 29 years later, and it's a global warming. Fuck, it's all bullshit. And I really want to see Al Gore's fucking bank books. I want to see if he's got any fucking money.
Who knows?
But actually, Bush has a more greenhouse than Al Gore does. The ranch in Crawford is more green than Al Gore's home.
I'm sure it is.
And you know how true it's got to be if I'm going to actually back Bush on something.
Sure. I just think Al Gore is just one of those. He's an opportunist, and he found something, and he found a few celebs who were totally, you know, they got a hard on over it, and he's just an opportunist. I mean, from out of nowhere, he goes with this global thing. It's really, and especially when we found out too that his movie included clips. I thought he was showing shots of actual calving of
CGI.
It was CGI and scenes actually from another movie.
Okay, let's take a quick call because people have been calling. I haven't answered any of the calls. Yes, good morning. You're on the air with TJ, Johnny, and Sam.
Yes, this is Mount Rushmore calling.
Oh, Rushmore.
I rock hard, bitches.
Yes, you do.
So, how many faces do you have on you, Mount?
Four.
Four
hot faces. Rock hard, bitches.
Four hot faces on you right now. Rock hard, bitches.
Do we have a Fagley on board?
Oh, my goodness.
You know who you sound like, actually? You sound like China. TJ. You know who China is?
You say TJ?
Oh, man. That was a good one.
Well, Sam, I know the show's coming to an end, but I wanted to call in and congratulate you on launching the second channel today.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much.
I'm handcuffed here at work. I'm in my cubicle. That's why. I feel like I'm taking a stiff one in my mouth. What can I tell you?
Yeah,
a
cubicle in Cleveland.
I wanted to pop in and say hi, and you guys have been doing a great job today.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
By the way, this is Greg Rempe, Barbecue Central, 6 p.m. Pacific Tuesdays. Standard Time on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Yes, and we never forget to promote our fellow men.
Johnny, yeah.
Believe me, they know who the fuck I am.
All right. How's your wife and my kids doing, by the way?
Outstanding. Thank you for asking.
Thanks for calling in, Greg. Now go get your fucking shine box.
Get your shine box. Now I have to rent that. Thank you.
Yeah. Greg, thanks so much for calling, my friend. And keep
TJ,
calling.
Yes.
Did you say the N-word today?
Yeah, a couple times.
He did.
Yeah, nigga. Okay. Yeah, a couple times, yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if you were saying necklace.
No, I said nigger.
Or something else.
No, I said necklace after I said nigger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, TJ says anything. You know, we say anything.
No, because you know what? I find myself. It's so silly to say.
I don't think he says it in a derogatory way at all.
No, not about niggers.
No.
No, but. No, no, the thing is that I feel it is so ridiculous to say the N word when I know that especially when I'm referring to it like in a news sense, when I'm talking about somebody called someone the N word.
Yeah.
It is so ridiculous, and I am participating in
it's a word.
I'm participating in this First Amendment assault on the First Amendment when I myself say the N word. Now, am I going to call somebody it? No. Yeah. Am I going to refer to the N? No, I can't. I cannot. And I do it on my show, and I stop myself. I go, this is insane. I can't sit here and say, quote unquote, the N word. I've got to say the word because then I'm not.
Because you're talking about it. I mean, we're not going to beat around the bush here, you know? I mean, you listen to traditional radio, and they're like SHIT, you know, or FUCK.
They won't even say that.
Yeah.
Or they say the F.
Fuck
them. SHIT.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
And the nigga they wrote in on. Yeah. Nah, motherfucker.
This is why I will never go to standard radio.
No, you can't. Honestly, really, I really, and Johnny being a First Amendment dude, I think to say the quote unquote the N word, I think just plays into the hands of those people who want to put put handcuffs.
Yeah,
on people.
Greg, what do you think of that?
No, I agree.
Yeah, you don't think it's bullshit?
Okay, well, Greg, think, we want you to stand up in your cubicle and yell it as loud as possible.
No, don't do it. Don't listen to Johnny.
Is that Susie? a whore's whore or what?
No, she's nobody's whore but her own.
She's just a really good sport.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
You could have been more demanding of a webcam of any other person I've ever met in my life.
It was Susie Schmoozy. I wanted to see the big-titted Heather.
Yeah.
28-year-old big hit.
The size of a UFO.
Yeah, TJ wanted to finish. That's the job. Yeah,
he was halfway there, man.
Yeah. It just made no sense to me. But evidently, we don't have the capability.
I don't know. I think it expects you to have a camera too. I don't know what the hell. We'll check it out.
We'll see.
Yeah, you can have one there.
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't.
Have
one.
That's what I thought.
Is,
yeah.
As long as I have their video enabled.
Yeah.
That's it. Exactly.
Well, I did, but it's not working. So anyway, it doesn't really matter. The point is that yes, and that's why I'm going to invite TJ and Johnny back anytime in the next 2 weeks or at any time. I would love to do this again.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You guys we didn't even scratch the surface.
No, not really. We didn't talk about Travolta.
Nothing.
We didn't talk that whole that thing. I mean, that's
that's what this show is about, man. You always going different directions.
Well, between you, me, Greg, and Johnny, we got three big brains.
There you go.
And
we won't ask which three.
I think he's counting yours and mine as one, Greg.
No, this is really cool. We should do this a whole lot more. We really should.
All right.
Give me lead time, and then a day or two in advance, and I can sit in.
That Wonderful. Would be really cool. We
that would be awesome, Greg.
Or you could really wise up and leave Cleveland.
Again with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, come to L.A. where we have no football team whatsoever. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
No football team and no jobs.
Oh, yeah. You're about to get Mangini.
And they got a football team without a fucking logo on it.
Yeah. Well, they're called the Browns, but the helmet is orange.
Called the Browns because they play like brown.
Yeah, maybe it's for the excrement.
No, they named it after the color of the water in the lake.
Eric Mangini, you're going to be getting Mangini.
Yeah, all right, folks, we're out of time. Alan is waiting. And Greg, thanks so much for calling, man.
Happy New Year, Greg.
I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. Okay. Greg Rempe, tomorrow, Tuesday at 6 o'clock on Channel 1. It's weird to say that, huh?
Channel 1.
But we don't need to worry about that too much. You go to the front page, you'll see all the shows right away. Stay tuned for Alan Cardoza with Answers for the Family. Johnny, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
I know you know, but
cool.
Luckily
awesome.
We all get up early, so it's
this
not a big
good.
Deal.
This was really cool.
Yeah.
This was
TJ, thanks so much for coming.
Absolutely.
And if you guys want later this week, next week, just let me know and we'll do it
again.
We should pick a day later
this week. We should do Friday.
We'll do it. Sounds
do it
good to me. Okay, well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll see. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll be right back here tomorrow.
Listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.